Mr. Chair, I just had one clarification.
Okay.
I confused the BLM easement with the Forest Service highway deed for the Skyline Road project. You guys are correct. The Forest Service segment is a perpetual easement. It lasts forever. It can terminate if the county uses any, it uses the road, if it goes against any term or condition in the easement. So that's the only way it will terminate. The
so BLM it's, per, portion, it's a perpetual.
It's a perpetual easement. Good. The BLM section is a 20-year right-of-way and will have to be renewed in 2038. So sorry for the confusion. Sorry, I messed that up. I went back and checked, and sure enough, I was wrong. So.
Excellent.
Yeah. Sorry.
All right. Thank
so
you.
So, question, Matt, on the BLM part, why? I wonder why they don't do those. We've changed all the rest of our easements to perpetual flip-me easements. Yeah. Why? I wonder what the difference is.
I don't know. You want me to talk to Mike and see if that's
possible? Yeah, why don't you talk to him and see if that's possible?
Okay.
Cool. Thanks, man.
To close the BLM session.
All right, Dennis, it's all yours.
Good afternoon, Commission. We've got a few items for you, and we've got a couple bookkeeping items to begin with here. And the first one is, we discussed a little bit about this. In the zoning regs, in the agricultural zoning, there was just residential uses that was described in there and had several calls come in about number of residents can be used, et cetera, et cetera. So, would like to, hopefully you guys have all had a chance to kind of read through that, but would like to propose, and it somewhat follows with state statute and what we've always done in the past, and to state in there that there will be one single family resident per 35 acres, which falls in with the agricultural zone district and whatnot, and then also in light item four, to also say one guest house or cabin per single family dwelling.
Okay.
That just kind of clears it up
a little better.
Yeah, and spells it out. And it is well spelled out in the other zoning districts. This was the only one that it never was.
Okay.
So.
All right. Perfect.
So you want to make a question. How does this affect say our ranch headquarters? We have a lot of them in the county that may have three houses on them.
Right.
Is it gonna have to remove those and put one on every 40 acre? What does it mean?
No. So if you have a 3,500 acre ranch sitting there, or 3,000, you've got, just because the ranch headquarters is all kind of located in one spot, and you've got all this remaining lands, or you have one here and it's the neighbor ranch that they bought, it's all come together. So with that, you would be allowed one dwelling per 35 acres. So just because it is set up in a clustered development or a PUD type development, you put your buildings here because that's where the water was or that's where initially, instead of spreading them out over all of that acreage, it's still the same. So that will not affect
anything. That answers my question.
They'd be grandfathered anyway.
In that case, but I'm thinking, somebody buys a ranch and they want a house to live in, they want a house for the hired man, or the family that's part of the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
It only makes sense to have them clustered.
Right. So they can be clustered instead of scattered out on every 40. It allows, and I think with that reading, one dwelling per 35 acres, you come in with a 350 acre ranch, there's 10 units that could be developed.
Yeah.
Along with the guest house.
Yep. And then they could all have a guest house. Then I think we fall into some other stipulations when you go with, just a bunkhouse or something, then there's other regulations where they have a kitchen facility in them, restrooms, what that counts for and qualifies for. So, Planning and Zoning Board reviewed this and recommended approval unanimously. So,
okay, further discussion, gentlemen?
Do we want to go through these one? I mean, make a motion one at a time?
Yeah, let's do them separately.
That's how I feel.
So. go ahead.
So move on the first one.
Yeah. Okay. So your motion is?
Yeah, motion is we accept the amendment to the Section 1, Chapter 8, Section 1 of Sublette County Zone.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we accept the proposed amendments, Chapter 2, Zoning and Development Regulations, as presented. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you very much. The second amendment has come up. This is zoning regs also. We have the Pinedale Industrial Park here west of town. Was created late 70s anyway, and the zoning regs came into effect after that. There are several lots in there that are smaller than the 2 acre minimum, which is now on the books. There's a lot of 1 acre lots and stuff out there. I've been approached by several of the property owners out there that they would like to see the setbacks changed in there to where they could build an office building or something up front and have more usable space on those 1 acre lots. So I did some research into this, and the most restrictions that I could find was through the state fire marshal's office, and their setbacks and safety concerns were building to building, things like that for fire separation. They talked about statewide, they have a lot of the setbacks from the center line of the road to the initial building or whatever of 40 feet. That allows them to get vehicles in and for safety aspect of that. On our roads and stuff out there at the industrial site, we have an 80-foot easement or a 60-foot easement already. With a 40-foot setback, you're basically right on the property lines, or just inside the property lines. And there's a few of those instances out there that we already have utility easements within the front 10 feet. So with that, we brought forth this proposal to allow the front setback of 10 feet with a side setback of 15 feet, which keeps our 30-foot separation distance between any buildings, and keep the rear setbacks the same. Allowing people to use more space on those lots or to locate the building closer to the front, you know, providing them some more room. The only lots that this would affect are lots that are smaller than 2 acres, which are those existing lots out there. There's a couple lots, I believe, down in Big Piney that are that way. But any future development, we also have in the regs that no industrial lot will be smaller than 2 acres. So it doesn't affect anything else moving forward.
Okay. Industrial lots from here on out are 2 acres or more.
2 acres or more anyway. So okay. It would fit the existing setbacks that we have of the 30 feet in the front, 20 feet on the sides, and 20 feet in the rear.
Right.
Again, going back with the state fire marshal's office, they were fine basically with a zero setback in the front, which I don't believe we want to do that because we do have utilities and everything else.
Utilities, right.
15-foot setback on the sides, just because we still maintain our 30-foot separation in between buildings.
Sure.
And the rear setback being the same. So.
Okay. Makes sense. Any comments, questions? Tom?
Did you discuss this with Shad anyway?
Yes. Okay. With Shad and with the fire marshal's office, state fire marshal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any further questions? All right, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we pass the amendment to the Sublette County Planning and Zoning pursuant to Chapter 8, Section 1. Of Sublette County Zoning and Development Regulations entitled Amendments.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the proposed amendment, Chapter 3, zoning and development regulations. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
All right. With these additions and stuff, I will have a corrected set of regs also put together. Going to go through and proof check stuff one more time, make sure little stuff take care of spaces, and we will have a new set of regs online probably by the end of the month. So.
Okay. Perfect. Sounds good, yeah. Good to have that cleared up.
Yeah. Our third agenda item is a proposed rezone for property located out at Sand Draw. This is a 38-acre parcel. It's located on the south and west corner of Sand Draw Industrial Park. This was a piece of property that is currently zoned agricultural. And the proposed is to make it heavy industrial with the same similar zoning as the rest of Sand Draw.
Yeah. Same as what's across the road.
Yes.
Is there a minimum lot size on that?
2 acres.
2 acres, okay.
What is proposed is to just that this would get rezoned. It's not going to be subdivided. It's going to remain as just a lot, one parcel, one piece. If you take out the road easements and stuff, you end up with about 20.8 acres, 20.9 acres for them to be able to use. That would give a larger industrial lot out there for storing of rigs, laying down rigs, large equipment.
Is there any issues with access off of 191 there and into those lots?
No. There is an access that is down here towards the south end of it.
Okay.
That access has been permitted and approved through YDOT.
I think I see it.
Is there a turning lane for that one?
There is not a turning lane on that one. But they went through... Put that in here someplace.
There is a turning. Let's see. No, there's not a turning lane for the other side of the road either.
No, the other side of the road is on up towards the northern end of that.
Right.
Actually, it's just past.
Right. Yeah. Larry Lozier Road.
Yeah.
Let's see, there's that. There is another James Fairbanks Lane, right? That's the access to the other side, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And this approach...
Is there a turning lane at that James?
There is.
There is. There's one there, too. Okay. Gotcha.
And so YDOT had reviewed and accepted this approach in May of 2014.
Does YDOT have any plans to put a turning lane in there?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
And the applicant could possibly speak on that a little more if he knows.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. All right. Okie doke.
Planning and zoning felt that it fit with the area, adds on to the industrial park out there and would be a good fit. So.
Okay. Commissioner Burnett.
For a point of clarification, you said the size of this was 20.8 or 28 acres after you take out the easements?
20.8 after you take out the
easements. So there's actually 18 acres of easements?
Mm-hmm. It runs along that highway.
It's a lot of easements.
Yeah. Both sides, because it goes that part, that partial.
Yeah, that
to
parcel
the other
goes
side.
To the other side of the road. Yeah. So. It's the remainder.
A lot of easement.
This segment is the remainder of this whole subdivision.
Yeah.
Right. And that quarter line's about right in there.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So yeah, with the road running kitty corner through there, there's quite a little bit of
quite a lot of easement.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the application for Sandraw LLC requesting a zone change for 38 acres from A1 to heavy industrial.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the zoning change for Sandraw LLC, changing the boundaries of the 38-acre parcel from A1 agricultural to IH heavy industrial zoning. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for coming.
See ya.
Does that mean things are going to be picking up?
I hope so.
So do we.
Yeah. Thank you.
The fourth item we have here is a request from QEP Energy Companies to, first of all, let's jump this up to get up here where we can find it. It is dealing with the Pines End property and their buildings up here. They propose a two-lot minor subdivision to create the Pines End Ranch minor subdivision, and the purpose of this is for the legal transfer of the PEP office buildings from QEP to PEP.
Okay, give me that one more time. So as it exists right now, is it one big lot?
As it exists right now, it is all of the ag ground. Here, let me...
Oh,
it is all of the ag ground.
I got you.
And the office buildings.
And all of that.
And it's already sold.
Yeah, there's already this little foobar of
it's already been sold.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of a tactful way to just
bring
that out. Okay.
Yes.
So this takes those two lots away from the rest of that.
Right.
Is that?
That is correct.
Okay.
And when QEP developed this section, as you go back, we rezoned that area. Well, it stayed part of the parent parcel, but it was all rezoned, and there was descriptions for those rezoned areas, and Jeunesse was taking care of that for tax purposes, because those come out differently. Well, when all of this got transpired and sold, they just took that description that they've been paying taxes on and lumped it all into everything and sold everything. But this was never subdivided correctly to where...
So when they sold it, they didn't sell all of that land. They just sold where the building
is. Correct.
Oh. Well, that's a problem.
So, but it hasn't been two separate lots.
Two separate...
Been two separate lots there?
No, it is... Here, turn this on. It is separated by zoning. Where am I?
Oh, yeah.
C1 and L1L. So they zoned that industrial and the rest of
it's
still that.
It's industrial where all their storage and stuff, storage yard was. Commercial where the office buildings.
Light industrial.
Yeah. Okay.
I got you. And what are we going to zone it now? Are we going to leave it that way?
Yep. Well, okay. The zoning doesn't change.
Okay.
Because
we're just going to carve it out of the rest of that.
Right.
Okay. I got you now.
And that makes everybody's deeds and paperwork and such come out correct.
I had a hard time understanding that. Thank you for explaining.
Okay, sorry that I didn't explain that better.
No, you did fine. It's not your fault I didn't understand it.
Well,
you can explain it for me, but you can't understand it for me. So. Go ahead.
Is the total acres 20.8? That's both the C1 and the 1L?
Yes.
Combined.
Okay.
All right, further questions?
How much is the other acreage?
The other acreage, it remains, there's about 152 acres remaining.
Chairman, I make a motion we accept a two-lot minor subdivision of 20.8 acres currently zoned general commercial C1 and light industrial property being located on Highway 191. How's that?
Good enough for a second.
Okay.
For now. You can fix it.
Excellent. All right. It has been moved and seconded that we approve the request for a minor subdivision, Pines End minor subdivision. I'm going to leave it at that. Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
All right. I believe we do have a plat ready for you guys to sign. And then, yeah, there's been agreement in place on how this is all going to take part.
Is there? Good.
Well, they have to sign stuff back over
to QEP,
record stuff,
sign back to
PEP. Yeah.
So who discovered this was needed fixed?
Ed Wood.
Oh, okay.
That worked.
Grabbed it, so.
Get the ink flowing.
So yeah, throughout their giant thing of lawyers down there, they missed it all.
I will sign when you get ready to record.
Okay, if that's good, we're waiting on one of the deeds, and I need to get this signed by QEP, so probably going to be next week. We'll come
that's okay.
Visit and
yeah, I'll record I'll sign when we record.
We're going to have.
Everybody lined up.
A, B, C, D, F, and
okay.
I guess the other thing, just for bringing up from my office and stuff, let you guys know, it does seem like things are picking up a little bit here again.
Good.
I am getting building permits in and septic permits in and things like that.
They've been picking up for you.
Oh, yes.
Good.
And it has. It's, yeah, you try to do all of this stuff and answer the phone.
Able to keep your head above water?
No, barely.
Okay.
Last week was, I had a couple of days. It was,
let us know if we need to throw you a bully.
It's, at some point, we need to discuss all of that.
All right.
But it can't. You know, there's no way that it can be a full-time thing or something,
right.
But it needs to get out and do inspections on top of all of this and normal everybody walking.
Well, let's see
out.
How this construction season
yeah.
goes.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll have to
have that
plan ahead, but yeah.
Okay.
But no, I also see where we're set right now with.
Yeah.
But I'm getting a good handle on the office, know where stuff's at.
Good.
Okay. So everything else is going pretty well. So,
right.
Is there any other questions that you guys have?
I don't believe so.
I
don't think we're in good shape.
There will be probably a couple other things coming up with just planning, zoning, trying to get stuff put together. Some of the regs. I've been getting lots of inquiries yet again this spring on cell tower type stuff. And been working a little bit with that. We'll have an application coming in, or at least a hearing next month on all that. So,
okay. Where's that?
It is the same cell tower out at Barger.
Oh, okay.
They are going to actually co-locate another carrier
on
there.
That tower.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there you go.
And so we're stuck a little bit by regs, what they can do anyway,
right.
through federal stuff, but at least they're co-locating.
That's a good thing.
Are they going to add to the tower, or are they going to make it work the way it is?
They're going to add to the tower.
20 feet.
20 feet.
That rule is not there.
There you go.
There you go.
That's why
we went 45 foot.
It's inevitable.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But the other thing I did have talked to them about and stuff, too, is the other tower that's going in up above the, or next to the museum.
Mm-hmm.
That one is a 65-foot tower was what got permitted. That one is co-locatable for three carriers on it. So
without adding to it.
Without adding to it, without changing anything.
And it's going to be a pretty looking tree.
No, it's just
a real cool
tower. Because it's on the county side.
Okay. I was going to say, those trees don't fool me.
What tree?
You paid too much attention.
Yeah. What tree?
Those fake trees?
So, if there's, yeah, if there's anything else, let me know, but.
Okay. Sounds good, Dennis. Thank you.
Well, and thank you guys very much.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thanks, Dennis.
Do you know? Mandy? I think.
Okay.
She said she was the only one running the shop now.
Right. Okay.
All right. Well, we're waiting for our next appointment, so do you have anything else for us, Mary?
I do not.
Okay. We will just wait for our next appointment to show up.
Want to hear some history?
Let's have some history. Have a history lesson.
So I told you guys last week that I had the opportunity to, I had to go looking for some information. And so I read about 15 years worth of minutes, which is like a fate worse than death.
I'll bet that was terrible.
It's riveting, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And the thing that I did find, though, oh, we're done.
Okay. Don't even sit down. Come on.
I'm sorry, everyone called right as I was walking.
Oh, you're doing just fine. Come on up, have a seat.
Okay. First of all, of course, it's April, which is what we do every year. So it's Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and we're just asking you again to join us from the governor in declaring it a Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
You bet.
Okay.
Have you got a resolution there?
I do. Do you want me to read it? No, I don't think so. You never know.
It'll be in our minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, we'll put it in the minutes and such like that. So we just need a motion. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve a resolution adopting April as Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
Second. It has been moved and seconded that we adopt a resolution. Yeah. Have you got the number? Or is it just this resolution?
No. Okay. Just do that resolution.
Okay. Yeah. Adopt a resolution adopting that April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
And we appreciate
that
your
was
work.
Easy.
Yeah, it's the same verbiage as last year. So.
Yeah, it is. I changed a little bit. But and then just real quickly, I wanted to talk about the town of Grant. Of course, Robin apologizes that she can't be here with the death in the family. But the town of Grant is due the 26th of this month. We are basically asking for your permission to have maybe a little bit of an extension and not have it ready for you guys on the 17th meeting, but to have it to Mary by, I think, Monday the 23rd before the due date. Just gives us an extra week for her to get back and for us to get everything put together. If you guys are okay with going as we always have in the past with that grant.
I don't think we have a problem with that as long as it just doesn't have a problem, create a problem with the deadline for you getting that grant.
Yes, I plan to work on it for the first time. I'm going to learn a lot and hopefully have most of it done
sure.
by the time Roman gets back.
Yeah.
So we just wanted to touch base on that and make sure that you guys were okay with moving forward.
Yeah,
no problem.
That will be fine.
Okay, I appreciate it very much. Thanks for your support.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sorry, I was a little bit late.
No worries.
You were right on the telephone.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, continue with your history lesson.
Can we give you a history lesson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I started reading in 1960, which, you know, I was alive in 1960, and found it really interesting the total award. So the total budget in 1960 was $317,000.
Oh, my God.
To run the whole county.
To run the whole county.
Yeah, that's the boards and everybody. That's the whole 12 mills. Only, I don't think it wasn't 12 mills then. It looked like it was more like 6 mills or something. So I don't know if they changed. I don't know if they changed. In 1961, it went up to a whopping $393,000.
Wow.
For some reason, in 1961, they dissolved the Weed and Pest District. On a motion, which would never happen nowadays.
Yeah.
In 1962, since we're going to be talking about scholarships, I got two scholarships that are interesting. 1962, the winners were Brad Bousman and Doug Vickery.
Really? That was a while back.
Yeah. In 1970, let's see, where's that note down here? Yeah. In 1970, the scholarship winners were Gary Neely, Penny Barden, yeah, Barty's sister, and Cynthia Cobb, who is Cindy Wilson.
Cindy Wilson.
Yeah. And
that's awesome.
In 1963, they had a hell of a wreck with the audit, and they basically told everybody that they were to comply with the regulations and that there was a $195 error and they were going to declare it an error and take it off the books in the treasurer's books.
$195?
Yeah, $195 error.
Here, balance the budget.
Yeah, balance the budget. Yeah. They struck it off.
That sounds like my office.
And I probably shouldn't tell you this one. This is 1964. They voted to close the county offices on Saturday during the months of June, July, and August.
Geez, we better open him back up.
On Saturday? Yeah, in 1964.
Biggest time of year. That's
right. Oh, yeah. That was the year you graduated, wasn't it?
So we started search and rescue in 1964. They started funding it. Now, they didn't start funding fire, which is interesting. We didn't start funding fire until 1966. Forest reserve money, that's one of our budget items. Every January, one of the first things that they would do for years was distribute the forest reserve money, which 80% goes to the county for roads, and 20% goes to the schools.
Mm-hmm. And that was a traditional 25% revenue sharing.
Yeah.
Is what that meant. Yeah. Before SRS, before
right.
the spotted owl
right.
and everything.
Hmm.
So we still get the Forest Reserve money today, and we distribute it the same way still. I found that interesting that that's lasted through the years. In 1967 is when they built the current Skyline Drive Road.
67.
Yeah. And we built the dump in 1967.
That was a good year. 67 was a good year.
50. Yeah.
50 years. My goodness.
1967 in August, the county clerk, who at that time was Jaime Summers, resigned, and they appointed a new county clerk, and his name was Robert Evans. And I don't know who that guy is. But Robert Evans appears in 1971. Okay, so we're talking from 67 to 71. He becomes the zoning administrator.
That
in
was.
71.
Hmm.
Do you know who that is?
Helen and Ossie Evans' son, Bob, Robert,
yeah.
Bob Evans.
Hmm.
That's who that is.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, though, did he run for clerk? Because Ani Clark was the new clerk.
I can't remember if he ran for clerk or not.
So, anyway, I thought that was interesting. The other thing that's in the minutes, too, that's really, really crazy, if you look at the old minutes basically are the commissioner showed up, the elected officials made their financial reports, the commissioners approved the bills, and that was it. And the bills are like this long in the minutes. They're all of the bills. Well, then we got a new clerk, and then we got it's a little more newsy about what's going on. There's stuff there, so they got a little more involved. But tons. Used to be that the commissioners had all the authority over elections.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they appointed all of the election judges, they determined all the precincts and the polling places and stuff. So there's big legal descriptions of the precincts, of where these precincts were supposed to be and who the appointed judges were, and there were like 16 precincts where now we have 8, and I mean it goes over and over because it comes up every 2 years. So there's lots of pages of that stuff that's in the minutes, which is really boring stuff.
Interesting.
So, and what else is good here for you to know? Oh, the first time that they funded fire was $10,000. And they didn't increase the funding to fire until 1971. First time was in, what did I tell you, 62. 62 was the first time they funded fire. They didn't increase it until 1971 to $12,000, and then they went to 75, they went to $14,000.
We're talking about numbers that don't even exist in our world.
Yeah. So it was interesting because the fire was done by Pinedale and Big Pine, those two entities, and the money that the commissioners taxed was split evenly and given to Pinedale and Big Piney to serve the rural areas, is how fire worked, which look at how it's changed over the years.
Wow.
So, let's see. What else is good to know? I think the patio grill provided jail meals forever. They're in there doing jail meals. Hmm. 1965 is when the Big Piney Cemetery District was formed. And it goes through all of that. So in 1967, lots of discussion about planning and zoning. Hmm. Because we adopted planning and zoning regulations in 1967, even though the county master plan wasn't done until the late 70s, but we had zoning from the late 60s. Hmm. And lots of meetings and lots of people attending those. And then the county superintendent of schools used to be an elected position.
Hmm.
But in 1968, they put it on the ballot and got rid of it. So, the late 60s were really crazy because it's like a who's who of who's in Sublette County of couples coming to the commissioners asking for county roads and asking for snow plowing. So it was like, I wonder if we bought a snow plow and everybody wanted to come by their house. Because there's meeting after meeting after meeting is people coming wanting county roads.
Huh.
So that was, so I think the new system of county roads that we have now was done in the late 60s. But there was a lot of stuff going on in the late 60s. There was, I'm sure that's when most of the action in the southern part of the county was happening, and there was money and, you know, things were happening, but things changed quite a bit because before that it was pretty slow going on what was happening. 1969 is when they built the county shop. So, yeah.
That was a good year.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's good.
So, did you say earlier why you was researching, or you just got a minute to go through
them all? Yeah, I got a minute and was bored.
Yeah.
Well, I started out. This is Shad's fault, of course, you know.
I can't imagine.
So Shad comes over and he's trying to make a list of who the county fire wardens have been over the years. And he got back as far as 1979 and then he couldn't get any further. Well, I read that many years of minutes and I never found the county fire warden either in the minutes. So I got a couple more places to look, but I ended up, I was going to spend about an hour on this, and it was like the whole morning reading all that stuff. But it was really entertaining because it's kind of like history repeats itself. Mm-hmm. Same things happen, only it's 40 years later or whatever. But it was really interesting, and there was a lot of discussion back in 68, because that's when they started giving more money for fire. Mm-hmm. Well, there was a whole discussion about how that money was distributed. And also we talked about radios, and we talked about Motorola, and we talked about White Off. So, it was good.
That's interesting. It all comes back, doesn't it? Let's move on with our agenda. Lori, come on up. Yeah, right
here. There you go.
Three of them. Thank you all for inviting me here today. So this is a wonderful opportunity. And thank you, Mary, for the invite. So,
thank you for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
Thank you.
Shall I just go ahead and start?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you like to hear about me first or about the program?
Both.
Okay, we'll talk about the program first. Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Sublette County has been in the county since the early 2000s, and I've been here since October 2017. Big Brothers Big Sisters is a national organization. We are the largest one-on-one mentoring organization in the United States. It was established in 1903, so we've had excellent success with our youth mentoring programs. We have two types of programs. We have what's called a site-based program and community-based. In Pinedale, we currently have one site-based partnership with Pinedale Elementary School. I am currently working on two other site-based program partnerships with BOCES, John Anderson, and PAC, Amber Anderson. I've also met with Jake, the vice principal of Pinedale High School, working on a third partnership opportunity where we are recruiting high school juniors to be mentors to our littles. So with Big Brothers Big Sisters, we have volunteers who are called Big Brothers Big Sisters. You must be at least 17 years of age or older. And then we have little brothers and little sisters. Those are children ages 5 all the way up to 17. So we match a big brother, big sister, with a little brother or a little sister. And, excuse me? Okay. So in Pinedale, we currently have one active match that's been ongoing for at least 2.5, almost 3 years. We have 9 littles who are waiting to be matched. We have 3 probable big brothers, big sisters in our system now that are going through the application process. It's very rigorous. We require criminal background investigation. We contact references. We screen social media. So we are very careful to match our volunteers with our children. And we base our matches on the interests, personalities of the child and the needs of the child. Our program is first and foremost about safety. Second, about matching a child with an adult mentor that will positively impact that child's life, hopefully for the rest of their lives. And so we have found that with our programs and one-on-one mentoring, that those are the outcomes that we've experienced when we spend time on the front end matching the volunteer with the child so that we can sustain those long-term matches. So I'd already mentioned here in Pinedale, we've been here since the early 2000s. I've been here since October. So any questions about the program?
No.
Okay. Myself, I met a man about 13 years ago, a good friend of mine, and he told me that if I would let him, he'd take me places I'd never been and show me things I never seen. Well, he invited me to Pinedale, Wyoming.
That's a pickup line.
I know, but listen, the story gets better. He invited me to Pinedale during the summer of 2006. I came up here 4 times with family members, and I fell in love with this place, and especially Fremont Lake. My husband has been coming up here since he was a little boy. We've had a seasonal residence for he had it prior to meeting me, 25 years ago. Well, this friend, I eventually did fall in love and get married. So I've been coming to Pinedale, spent the majority of summers, 5 to 7 months for the last 12 summers. This will be my 13th summer.
Yeah.
And so we have been in the process of, we've looked at properties all the last year, and we're making Pinedale our permanent home. So that's a little bit about me. I graduated, my undergraduate degree is behavioral science, anthropology emphasis in 2013, and then I just completed my master's in organizational leadership with an emphasis in ethics in December of 2017. So I'm just excited to be here and bring my talents to Pinedale and my strengths to Pinedale, and I chose Pinedale. Pinedale didn't choose me. So that's
cool.
A little bit about me.
Terrific. We appreciate you being here. You're going to get to know Mary quite a bit more during budget.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we'll be discussing Big Brothers and Big Sisters during our budget process.
Okay. Is there any other questions that I can answer for you? Or?
I think I only have one question. And you mentioned that you were working with the PAC and the BOCES and
mm-hmm.
the high school. Are you doing anything with Big Piney High School?
Yes.
Elementary school?
I am so happy that you asked me that. I have 2 littles that are waiting in Big Piney. Excuse me. Pound them a cold. That are waiting for matches. So I'll be meeting with Big Piney Elementary School. We don't have a site-based program there as yet. So I'm working on that with Big Piney. And I will be meeting with Big Piney probably the first part of May. With a site-based program, that's where your volunteers go to that site and they spend, we request an hour once a week with that child. So whether it's having lunch with them, playing cards with them, board games in the library, we just ask that kind of commitment to go to the elementary school. But we do have two littles that are waiting in Big Piney to be matched, and I am recruiting volunteers in Big Piney. So
Man,
I know
got the day off.
Excuse me?
You have to work. You have to have a job to be able to do that. I couldn't pass
this program is called Big Brother, Big Sisters, not Old Brother.
Yeah.
Old.
Yeah.
All right.
We have some older individuals that are coming on board and wanting to volunteer, and I'm not excluding anyone because wisdom counts for something, and so. I did bring some brochures that can maybe answer a little bit more of your questions, and if you can just pass these out to friends, family members, coworkers. I was one short. And then I have a packet also for the commission for just, you know, what volunteering does within a community and how it contributes to healthy youth and healthy children in our community, which is the basis of a healthy community. So there's some more information in this packet that I would like to leave with Mary. And again, we're actively recruiting volunteers. I need Big Brothers and Big Sisters. I especially need Big Brothers. We do have a shortage. I have parents who are asking for Big Brothers for their sons. So preteen, teenage sons. And so if anybody's interested, please give me a call. Is that all?
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank
so
you.
Nice meeting all of you. And I do look forward to meeting in the future all of you in various activities and working with Sublette County.
Yeah.
So
thank you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome.
All right. We'll wait for our 2 o'clock now. Is our 2 o'clock out there?
There's some people sitting out here.
Is Renee out there?
Maybe I'm wrong.
Is that her? Yeah, that's
Renee.
Well,
think give her
is.
The...
Well, she's not looking at me.
All right, I'll go give her the...
I just gave her the sign.
Oh, well, I'm waiting for the rest of my team.
Oh, well, that's too bad. Get in here.
You guys are never just early.
Oh, we're always early.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And the rest of my team is in here. Hey, Holly.
Well, they can still speak when they get here.
Okay. Yeah, I can start with.
Yeah, absolutely. You start.
Come. Take your time.
Don't be flustered. We're in no hurry. Yeah, when it gets toward the end of the day, we hurry right along. Yeah.
I don't blame you. Everybody has a little something they're going to speak.
Does that other microphone work?
No.
Or does it need batteries?
Here,
use this one.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
They want us here.
Come in. Come in. Yeah.
Hey, Randy.
You did say 2 o'clock, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
they're on the ball.
We're actually getting her done this time.
I need one of those, please.
One of these ones? Yeah.
How are you, Randy?
All right, Joe. How are you?
Good.
How's everybody?
Good. How are you? Good.
All right.
Well, I'll just kind of start, and then when Aaron gets here, if Aaron doesn't get here, then
we'll
just keep going, right?
Since we're early.
Yeah. And they want to get out of here at a good time.
Oh.
So this is part of our postvention crisis team that we've been working on throughout the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it also consists of Hillary Tolleson with Sheriff's Office, Bill Lear over in Big Piney, he's a retired counselor, and Aaron Priest, and he's at Southwest Counseling Service. So you know, update from this crisis team, what's going on in the county. As far as suicide prevention, the new fiscal year coming up in July 1 will have suicide prevention funding back from the Department of Health. And we'll be able to have one, I believe it's 1.5 million for the biennium for the state, which is actually a huge increase from what we used to get for the state. We used to get 150,000 per year for the entire state. So this fiscal year currently we had no funding, but we have a lot of support from the diocese and local entities for the work that we were doing for suicide prevention. And so next year we'll be able to move forward and do a lot more programming and stuff for suicide prevention for each county. So I'll go over to Randy.
All righty. One of the other things that we had done or discussed or have started to plan for after the shooting in Florida, I had seen in the newspaper that we had an active shooter exercise that was done here. They removed it from the school because it was so close to the school shooting, because it was, of course, planned before that. So what we had done, we had gotten together one of our meetings and discussed that, because my feelings on a lot of these active shooter situations are that they eventually end up being suicide by cop anyway, besides the fact that it is a crisis situation. So we had talked about that and some of not necessarily scenarios, but how we would approach that. So we went to the sheriff's office and we basically offered our assistance, asked them how we could help. We discussed possible situations or like staging, when would we be called in, first responder type support, identification, and some other issues that we might need to think about ahead of time if we did get in a crisis situation like that. So that was kind of basically it in a nutshell without going into detail. We had a nice long conversation with the sheriff about that and making ourselves available, because we're going to have a lot of moral injury that's going to take place during an episode like that. So.
And moral injury is the new term that they're calling PTSD, in case you weren't didn't know what moral injury stands for. That's the more.
It's a lot more appropriate. You know, we've gone from combat fatigue, shell shock combat fatigue, to PTSD, and now it's moral injury, because that's what we feel that that's the foundation of those mental issues that our veterans are dealing with. And anyone else, because it's not just confined to veterans.
Yeah.
So.
Well.
So I attended a Suicide to Hope training last week, and I really would like to bring that to our community, and I'll bring that next fiscal year. We'll be able to work that into our community, but this is a training that will help lower that frequent flyer issue that we kind of have with some residents in Title 25s. You know what Title 25 is?
Oh, boy.
Yes, it's a lot of money.
Boy, do we know what Title 25
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's completely, you know, it can be exhausting on funds and budgets. Oh, and yeah. So this training that I went to was really, really good training. And I look forward to bringing that to our community, because then we can maybe really get to the backbone of those people that are considered our frequent flyers out there. So
cool.
I'm looking forward to that, because it was really good. The next thing was, is I also attended, we really wanted to work from our team with veterans in our community, because we have over 500 of them. And it's kind of an audience that doesn't like to be brought out into the open, but we would like to offer them resources and get their input for future people, veterans residing here. So I attended a training also last week for that, and luckily we get to bring that from the VA, the Cheyenne, the VA puts these trainings on for free, and I'll get to bring that here, and we're going to have that May 8th, no,
15th,
we just decided on the date. So we'll be able to get some additional support to those veterans and provide some additional language or collaboration and work for that demographic that we really haven't reached out to, but we would like to at least give them the resources in the community for what's available for them.
just kind of a quick foundation on that is they are looking for clinical types and pastoral care type individuals that would be in contact with those veterans. So that's what this training is kind of for, giving them insight on how to deal with a veteran that has PTSD / moral injury issues going on. And they have asked that they get as many clinical folks as they can get to come to it. So.
And I've reached out. And the nice thing about the Veterans Association is when I spoke to Carol Carr, who puts it on, they have now the ability with the veterans, I guess the government, that they can, they'll be able to send one of these flyers for our training to every church here, Lincoln and Teton, as well as every veteran that is registered in each county to let them know that this training is going to be an option. I didn't get to tell Randy that after I spoke with her yesterday. So we're going to reach, we're going to be able to, if available, come on, if available, we'll be able to reach a pretty good veteran population and our faith-based population because we don't have as many resources in Suffolk County. So we want to make sure that we offer as much services as we can to people. And this is going to be great. They'll be able to touch like a huge population in the three surrounding counties even. So,
is the county VSO officer involved in this?
Yes, we sat down and spoke with her when we talked about bringing this together. So.
Yeah, she was on spring break last week, though, so, cool. Aaron, you're up.
Sorry for the delay. So we're also doing the 5th Annual Mountains of Hope Walk. That'll be August 7th and August 8th, the 7th here in Big Piney, or in Pinedale, from the high school over to the Veterans Park, and then on the 8th in Big Piney. The last couple of years have been very well attended. Big Piney last year, not so much because we had a crazy weather that day, so that got canceled, I think they just canceled that one. And then Ultra has donated some funds to help with the advertising and some of the other things that we do with that. So, just
another reach out there.
Another heads up for what we're doing with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I've been continuing to provide the survivors of loss by suicide support group for people who have lost a family member or a good friend or cousin, whoever it might be, due to suicide. And we don't always have quite a number, but we have had a pretty we've had people call us or come in, and the coroner has referred people to us if he thinks that might be an advantage, a helpful thing for that person. He was one of the first to approach all of us to say, I really kind of need some help, because sometimes when I walk out of there after the investigation has been completed, is sometimes he said then that person is just left there all alone with, you know, if there's not... They don't know someone in town or whatever might be happening for that individual. So it's been a quiet support, but we continue to make it happen.
Let's see. The last thing is that the Episcopal Diocese has funded a new billboard over in Big Piney. So you'll see. I think you've seen my drunk driving. It was part of my alcohol prevention funds, but with Department of Health, we cannot fund billboards because there was a bad billboard that was done on sexually transmitted diseases, and it was funded by Department of Health, so they won't let us. But with the diocese funding this, we can do, we're going to put up information on the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. And that side of the billboard actually lasts for 3 years, and it only costs us $275. For basically 3 years of funding, and the Big Piney Town Council has always been extremely supportive and said, do whatever. So they give us the go, so it's good.
Nice.
So do you guys have any other questions or needs that maybe our team could put together for you guys, or be reaching a different demographic or services? And if you don't think about it now, if you do come up with something, just make sure to let one of us know. And mm-hmm. Kurt Colville has been outstanding in keeping us, and the sheriff. We are really close. Kurt attended our meeting with the sheriff the other day after the shooting demonstration.
Alice training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. you know, we had a lot of, I had a lot of community members be like texting me, what is going on? Is there a shooter? What, you know, very panicked. And then same with Randy. And so that was another opportunity for us to just get together and see what we can do to support the community. So we've talked about getting some jackets that all match. So if something like that does happen and they recognize somebody really struggling that needs some, you know, someone to talk to, a faith-based or mental health counselor, they can point us out. We're out of the way, away from, and getting people some sort of the support we need. So we're just kind of slowly moving along, learning and progressing. And no other county is doing this. I've been to all the state meetings, and I'm really happy that we have the support in our community for all these things that we get to do. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we appreciate all your hard work.
Yeah, well, it's, these guys do a lot of volunteering, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Randy and all these guys, they put in a lot of work.
Yeah, appreciate all
so
of you.
We meet once a month and try and touch base, so.
Sounds great.
I have special appreciation for her because she does a lot of hard work.
Right. She basically got online and pulled the information together for this after we talked about it. And so, and I didn't touch on that, but that's how we put that together. So, and it's just another piece of reference information that we can make available to everybody if we do get into a situation. So,
better some. We'll never be fully prepared all the time, but at least right. We might act like we're prepared. How's that?
Well, hopefully,
we'll fake it till we make it.
You right did between great. Us, we can pull something together. You know, sit down and discuss it, and we come up with some solutions. So,
you did good.
Well, great. Well, if anything comes up, just
thank
get
you.
Any
thank
of us
you.
On the call.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Excellent.
Thank
you. And you got it done see. Before.
Before 2 o'clock.
Yeah, before 2 o'clock.
Finished it.
Good work. Excellent work.
Thanks,
thank
guys.
You.
Have a good day.
You bet. Thank you. All right, we're going to move on to our next topic here, and in doing so, we're going to move into executive session pursuant to State Statute 16-4-406A9. That's a new one. So, anyone like to?
I'd make a motion to go into executive session pursuant to that state statute.
I'll second the motion.
It has been moved and seconded that we go into executive session pursuant to 16-4-406A9. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. And when we come out of executive session, then we'll fill you in on any action we're going to take.
I'm glad I bring the computer. I got a lot of work done in the hallway.
Yeah, I'll bet.